Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with Repack, supporting the circular economy and reducing the impact of packaging on the environment.
Well, in the Green Scene today, microplastics ingested from chewing gum, but first, playgrounds as a source of the roundworm parasite. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Riemann, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So let's talk about dog poo and roundworm, or maybe cat poo too.
Yeah, I know, not the most pleasant topic for some people in the morning, but this is a parasite that can be in poo from these animals. And of course, the reason why we're concerned about it, I mean, it's not good for the health of those animals, but it's also not good for us if it gets into our system. It can cause some quite significant diseases. And of course, we know that out and about there is dog poo everywhere. And we also know that there's probably parasites in it. But what we didn't know before this new research is, particularly when it comes to parks, where is it? And is there any information there that can help us control it? And this is research from Trinity College in Dublin, from Dr. Jason Keegan. It was published recently. And what this research team did is they took soil samples from lots of different areas of 12 different parks in Dublin between May 2021 and July 2022. And what they found was they found roundworm eggs in 9 of the 12 parks, which isn't great news. But the other thing was they were able to identify that at the entrance to the parks and at the playgrounds, these were the hotspots, or the most significant hotspots.
This is where the kids are playing.
This is where the kids are playing. And of course, most playgrounds in parks nowadays are fenced off. Most of them, dogs are not allowed into them. So this is a problem. And what they also found is that of the roundworm eggs that they found, 93%, so nearly all of them, were infective, which means that if they had been come into contact with a person and then that person had accidentally touched their mouth, touched their face and ingested the eggs, they could potentially become infected. So one thing they've done, which is great though, is the methodology that they've used is very easy to repeat. So what they're saying is maybe now mitigations could focus on some of these areas of parks particularly. And, you know, they've recommended better signage, more bins for poo, maybe more poo bags being available to people coming to the park, but also that we would keep an eye on these things, you know, the levels in these areas particularly. And I think the other thing is probably we do need a campaign for pet owners around regular worming of pets.
And if you've got all these notices about roundworm and parasites and the dangers, and the dog owners are going to probably stay clear of those playground areas, because you know what the parents in the playground are going to be doing. When they're aware there could be parasites from dogs, they will want those dogs a million miles away.
Yeah, and of course, that's what's happened in some areas of the world. Dogs are ending up being banned from places. And of course, there's lots of positive impacts for people on dog owning and walking as well. So we want to try and be able to coexist. But certainly here, you know, it is a big issue. And what we want to do is try and identify the ways to really focus on the problem areas.
Now, DNA testing has been suggested by one councillor only the other day.
Yeah.
Complex and expensive, the fines would have to be absolutely enormous to cover the cost.
Exactly. And look, cities all over the world have tried lots of different things. So people have done brightly coloured paint on the poo so that as dog walkers walk around, they can kind of see the poo really visibly. In West Yorkshire, they decorated trees with bags of dog poo to try and highlight this issue of people picking up the poo but then flinging it into the foliage. And actually, a town in near Madrid kind of enlisted volunteers to look out for irresponsible owners. And I mean, they essentially followed people home and then they delivered the dog poo back to their house in a box saying lost property.
That might work.
It might work. But one actually low cost intervention is signs with eyes on them. So signs with human eyes looking down. A study from Newcastle University shows that bike thefts went down by over 60% if you put pictures of staring eyes above cycle racks. And this has also worked in canteens to get people to return their trays. So maybe there's some behavioural science that we can employ to try and get people to come.
Now, we've talked a lot about microplastics and microplastics in chewing gum. I thought chewing gum was a natural.
Some chewing gum is natural, but some of it isn't. Some of it is made with polymers. And this is research from UCLA in the States. And what this found, it's really interesting. It was presented at the American Chemical Society. And they had one single volunteer who chewed 10 different brands of chewing gum. Some were natural and some were synthetic. And they took samples of the volunteers' saliva as they chewed the chewing gum. And then they looked at the amount of microplastic in the samples. And what they found was there was microplastics in both. So, you know, we think of plastics and polymers as only coming from petrochemicals, but there are natural polymers as well. And actually what they found is that one piece of gum could shed thousands of microplastics into your mouth. So if you were a regular gum chewer, you could be talking about maybe 30,000 extra pieces of microplastic.
But do they do us harm?
Well, that is a very good question. One thing about these is they are microplastics. So the smallest size is about the thickness of a human hair. And I mean, this is an emerging area. We don't fully understand the impact of plastics on our bodies, but we think some of the ones that we need to be most worried about are nanoplastics. So these are ones that are much, much smaller, even than the width of a human hair. And the reason why we're interested in nanoplastics is because they're small enough to potentially be absorbed by a human cell, causing kind of inflammatory reactions. And I think what we're seeing now is an emerging body of evidence that links more exposure to microplastics to increased risk of things like stroke, dementia, IBD and general kind of inflammatory conditions. And while we're learning about that, we're also learning about more and more places where we're exposing ourselves to microplastics. So obviously used plastic cookware in our kitchen seems to be a real culprit. Even opening and closing your water bottle now, that friction is releasing 500 pieces of microplastic every time you open your bottle. And even cutting boards now and blenders that are plastic. Anywhere where there's friction and plastic, we're releasing microplastics.
More things to worry about. Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. Thank you very much.
Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with Repack, supporting the circular economy and reducing the impact of packaging on the environment.